I've seen the Joshua tree, got down on my knees, through the virgin mother of prayer. I walk glass barefooted, stroll across the devil's hot coal. I tried everything, I swear. But hey,
the Valley Rise Show, hour number two of the Valley Rise Show begins now, just a couple of minutes past the hour of 8 a.m. in Fresno, California. Again, 107, the expected high today. Just saying that out loud feels gross, but we're going to all endure it. And what's beautiful is that Fresno State Fall Camp is getting rolling, and the heat is just going to smack us all in the face. Again, just before we get to Angelique, follow us on social media, ESPN Fresno, on the app ESPN Fresno, and the website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Okay, with that being said, she joins us every single Tuesday, 8 o'clock hour. That is Angelique Martinez. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were out in, where is it, LMU? Is that where the Rams
campus?
Yeah,
we were at Loyola Marymount University, and that's where the Rams were holding the first week and a half of training camp. So it was cool. We were able to go down there, see some former Bulldogs, you know, practicing. Devontae Adams getting ready for year 13. Doesn't look like he's entering year 13 at all. He looked incredible. He looked super fast. He looked great. We got to hear from Ronnie Rivers, former Fresno State running back, who gets some minutes on special teams, returning some kicks. So it was cool to see.
You just drove my brain into a real, like,
year 13
weird space. Weird year 13. It does not feel that long. It does not. So, Packers, Raiders,
Jets.
Oh, I forgot about that tenure.
Quick little stop in New York.
He's been in the league that long. That's insane.
And he looked incredible. And I mean, he had a league leading 14 receiving touchdowns last season, and I foresee even more this year. I mean, again, to be fair, they were all red zone touchdowns, but like, I mean, the guy's
a beast. It feels like that's the goal for the Rams.
That's what works for them.
Force feed Puka Nacua in between the 20s.
Yep. And then Devontae will get it done in the end zone. Yep, I agree.
And that seems like it's going to be the plan. I don't know. I keep looking at this Rams team, and you just saw them up close. They look damn good.
They look really good. And, you know, if Aaron Donald comes back like we're hearing he might, this defense is going to be insane. Donald and Myles Garrett on each side. That's insane.
I don't like it.
They're going to annihilate quarterbacks. Even without Aaron Donald, this team looks insane.
I think that's the irritating point in this for me. And I am speaking fully in the Niner. I'm in the Niner space right here. You can be the impartial.
But I am rooting for Myles Garrett.
Okay.
After seeing him up close, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. I hope the Rams win a lot. I really do.
You just hope they don't beat the Niners.
I just hope they don't beat the Niners. Yeah. That's where I'm standing. Like, I know we, as a
station...
That's
going to be such a good game.
Because I know as a station, we want them to be good.
We want everyone to be good.
But not Niner good, you know?
Yeah.
But that first game, it is going to be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, this team looked great. The running backs, it's a deep room. You know, there's a lot of guys.
So talk about more about the dogs. Did you get to see all of them, or was
it
just
Devontae
Adams?
Yeah, so there's three currently at camp. Alzillion Hamilton, the undrafted free agent rookie corner, was currently on the PUP list, so he wasn't participating and he wasn't out at camp. We don't know anything. You know, obviously we couldn't see him or talk to him. Yeah. Ronnie Rivers entering his fifth year in the league. Doesn't that feel kind of crazy to say?
That also feels really
crazy. And his story is just so great because, of course, he went, you know, he was an undrafted guy out of Fresno State. He had an incredible run at Fresno State. Everyone knew Ronnie Rivers. He's in the record books for, you know, most touchdowns scored and all these crazy statistics. And it's like, he goes undrafted, and this guy's now entering year five in the NFL. It's pretty incredible that he's been able to stay with one team the entire time. You know, he's consistently been with the Rams and kept a spot on that roster.
He's gotten starting opportunities. He's gotten, I think Sean McVay sees the benefit of having a guy.
I saw he's had playing time in 44 games in the last 5 years. I mean, that's a lot for an undrafted guy in a deep running back room that's led by Kyren Williams. You know, like that's a lot of time. So
and knowing that the guys in front of him, you know, well, now Corum there being the two, but you know that Sean McVay wants to utilize as many run, like there's series where they go with three running backs in a series, like just in a series alone they'll swap everybody out.
I know, like we'll look up and we'll be like, is that Ronnie? Like what's going on? So I mean, at least they utilize him, and it's funny, like He gets a lot of minutes on special teams.
That Fresno State really, really...
Hey, it's like Nico Remigio with the Chiefs, you know? I mean, all his minutes were on special teams, and they were great minutes. Like, everyone knew of this guy just from his return, so...
Yeah, no, it's interesting for me to kind of see the way special teams is still so important in how... I think too often we forget that those fringe guys, if they can commit to being special teamers, they will have a roster spot
absolutely
on a team every single time.
Absolutely.
And Fresno State, I think, really brings that through. It comes to the hard work.
They make
I
special
think
teams a priority.
And they make sure that everybody understands you got to work for everything. You can't just expect a result. You have to work for that result. What more takeaways did you have from Rams camp? Like it just kind of energy-wise.
Energy is high. I mean, energy is high.
I like it, Angelique.
It was our first day hearing from Myles Garrett. He had great energy. You know,
he seems like a great interview.
He was so cool and so friendly and so kind. And I mean, I was just as a football fan, I was excited just to be in a close proximity to him just to see how large of a human he is, you know, like
compared to Derrick Henry.
Okay, it's funny, a little different. Like this is absolutely going to sound insane. I do think they're probably the same width. Like they're probably like, which is funny because Derrick Henry is kind of built like a pass rusher, you know, in a way. They're similar, but I think Derrick Henry might be a little shorter. I don't know, but he was massive. Myles Garrett was massive. Yeah. And as somebody who appreciates football, I was like, that's a big guy. That's a massive human being.
And for those of you that don't know, the reason I ask Angelique this is because one of the first stories you told me was about walking out of the sidewalk to permit Derrick Henry to walk directly through.
Yeah, the sidewalks weren't super wide on campus at Alabama because, you know, it's an old school, historic, whatever. You know, the sidewalks weren't huge. And when Derrick Henry would walk down the sidewalk, we would get off. It was like we like created a path for him. We're like, ah.
Yeah, like a little, just a little swarm I around mean, just. But
he deserved it. After he won the Heisman, it was like game over. Everybody move.
Well, I think like 10 feet away, you were already out of his way.
Oh, you could see him from a mile away. Yeah.
And that's so for everyone. That's why I asked the question about compare the two, because those are two big dudes.
Two big. And honestly, Derrick Henry's probably bigger now. I haven't seen him up close since college. I mean, he's had plenty of years in the league, so I'm sure he's even, I mean, he posted that he was getting ready, you know, for training camp, and he's absolutely massive. So
I genuinely can't imagine Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett on the same line. I can't imagine that until it knock on wood doesn't happen.
I'll be fantasy drafting that Rams defense real quick.
I think everybody is. I think we're gonna see like third round Rams picks because holy, like
this team's going to be fun. This team's going to be fun. I think the defense looks fun. They've got some young corners. You know, they've got a deep receiver room as well. And you've got the 1-2 punch there with Puka and Devontae and some younger guys that are stepping up. So,
and they haven't even drafted a first round pick in how long?
They don't have to.
Like, that's the insane thing. Like, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch over here keep miffing.
Well, and it's like
whiffing on every single.
This is what happens, and this is what people are trying to see. Like at the college level, it's like when you keep guys, and this team stays together, and the core of this team is still the same from the previous year and the year before that. Their success.
It's also rings through to Sean McVay never fearing making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's key. Like, there's been all too often we sit here and we go like, oh, what should the 49ers do? And how should they interact? Should they make the change? Should they come out and say Brock Purdy's the guy? Like, all over the last 5 years have been question marks. There never is a question mm-hmm. mark with the Rams. They're like, this is it.
We're doing it.
We're moving from Jared Goff and we're going to get Matthew Stafford. Oh, we're going to get Jalen Ramsey.
And I'll tell you
we're
what.
Going to trade him away. Like, decisions.
Matthew Stafford didn't look like the age that he is. He was throwing it. He was slinging it. Reigning MVP. I mean, he looked comfortable and confident out there. I know. Sorry to tell you.
Really frustrating. It's really, as a San Francisco 49er fan, I think it's immensely frustrating for Niner fans kind of hearing, Stribling has a hammy issue.
Maybe,
Mike Evans
maybe
has
it's
a quad
good,
issue.
You know, maybe it's good in a way, though, because it's like the expectations are high for the Rams, and they know that, and you know, maybe the pressure's there. I don't know. I will say, I'm not rooting for anyone, but I would like to see Davante Adams get a ring before he's done. I'm not saying it has to be there.
No. I'm not.
But this might be his best chance.
Yeah, I was like, that's the thing, though. Like, it's hard because I still want to root for the local guy, right? Over that. If the Niners don't win the Super Bowl, I would rather it be the Rams.
Really?
Like,
that's kind of a crazy thing to say.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's when you put a microphone in front of me.
That'd be like me saying, if the Yankees don't win the World Series, I want it to be the Mets. I would never say that. That's kind of crazy that you just said that.
Yeah, but I only say that because of the station. Right, I only say that because of the company.
Just say you're rooting for the Bulldogs, Jose. You're rooting for the Bulldogs.
I'm rooting for the Bulldog players.
Yeah. And like, of course, Devontae, you know, a different situation where he was like amazing in college and drafted and all these things. But like Fresno State, it's like we're usually rooting for the undrafted guys that, you know, at this level. And it's fun to see like Nico Remigio still with the Chiefs. How many rings does Nico Remigio have? You know, like it's crazy.
So he has enough. What you're saying is he's gotten enough for Fresno State in general.
No,
Devontae
deserves one.
Okay.
You know it. I know it. He's a good person. He's a great receiver. You know, he deserves it.
So to that point, I wanted to kind of get into so Bleacher Report came out with a top list of quarterbacks. Okay. You know who's on top of my list, right?
Ugh.
Let me see.
Where is he on their list? What number is he on their list?
I'm going to tell you, he's a lot higher than I think you think he is going to be. I got to rummage through my pieces of paper here because I was going to go into a different conversation, but I remembered that you were coming here.
Mm.
And I was like,
he said, let's talk about this quarterback.
This is the perfect.
Let's talk about this quarterback from the other team in LA.
Yeah. So, okay. So number one on this list, Matthew Stafford.
I mean, he is the reigning MVP.
He's the reigning MVP.
And a Super Bowl champion.
He's number one on the list. Number two, Josh Allen. Okay. Number three, Justin Herbert. Number four, Patrick Mahomes. And number five, Joe Burrow. That's your top
five. Joe Burrow should not be that high.
That's your top five right there. What do you think? What do you think?
Okay. Now, the way I view a quarterback, I feel like Josh Allen should be over Matthew Stafford just on mobility alone. And, I mean, just breaking his body to rush in and score touchdowns. Maybe accuracy-wise, maybe Stafford is more consistent. But in today's world, the quarterback position, you're not just throwing the ball. Yeah. You got to be able to take off. So I would put Allen above Stafford.
So here's the thing. So I'm going to tell you how they scored this, and then you give me that kind of response to it. So they scored it with accuracy, with processing, arm talent, decision-making, pocket presence, and leadership.
Okay.
So those were the markers.
We're not judging legs at all. We're not judging mobility. That's important now.
Not on this.
How many of the top quarterbacks are mobile? Is Lamar on that list?
Lamar is six on the list. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, Lamar. Yeah. So Lamar is six.
That's an oddly specific way to judge quarterbacks.
Joe Burrow five.
Also leadership.
Drake May is seven.
I don't care for Drake May.
What else? Let me see. I added my list. I made my list just because I was going to not do it with you. Caleb Williams was 12. I had him inside the top 10.
I think Caleb Williams is going to have a better year.
I had him inside the top 10.
I have higher expectations for him this year.
This one I loved. Dak Prescott was number 8.
He's not top 10.
Was number 8. Number 10 was Brock Purdy.
How do you feel about that?
So you want to hear mine? My top 10?
No, I want to hear about how you feel about Brock Purdy being number 10.
I have him in 9.
Well, he's top 10.
I have Dak Prescott behind him at 10.
I wouldn't even have Dak in the top 10.
You know, I had that same sentiment.
But you didn't give me time to make a list, so now I'm not going to give you one, but I'll hear yours.
Well, no, because the reasoning, I did it at 5:50 this morning, so I was
I was in REM at that hour, so.
But let me see, because they didn't give me the other ones, but Jaden Daniels was undisputed starter, but question mark. Jaden Daniel, Baker Mayfield, and CJ Stroud.
I think Baker's going to go off this year.
In that 11 to top 11 to 15, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence. So it was Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold, then Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is top 10, bro. What? This is crazy. Off leadership alone, he needs to be top 5. Get out of here with that.
Could start in a pinch. Joe Flacco, Davis Mills, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz.
I love me some Joe Flacco. And after watching the quarterback documentary on him on Netflix, love me some Joe Flacco, and he deserves better.
In tier 5, so that was tier 6. In tier 5, you have Tyler, I don't know him. He's
the Saints quarterback. Yeah.
I always forget him. So?
Shut.
Well, whatever. Jackson Dart and Cam Ward are in tier 5. And then tier 7, 25 or younger, limited starter potential. Tyler Leonard, Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel. I don't care about that.
Quinn Ewers.
So these are my top 10. At number 1, I had Josh Allen. At number 2, because I just respect the man. He's done it too much. I'm not going to move him down until after this year, and that's Patrick Mahomes. I have him at 2. At number 3, I have Matthew Stafford. Okay, dude's the dude.
He can respect it.
He was really close up there. 4, I have Justin Herbert. So I actually had him 1 down. I processed it a little bit more. Then at number 5, I have Lamar Jackson. Number 6, I have Joe Burrow. Number 7, Drake May. Number 8, Caleb Williams. Number 9, Brock Purdy. And 10, Dak Prescott.
I wouldn't put Caleb Williams at 8. I think he's going to have a great year, and we can reevaluate next summer, but I don't think he's that high now.
To me, going into this year, like I added into my marker.
I put Sam Darnold over Caleb Williams.
You know, year two of Ben Johnson. That is where my mindset is. It's why I think Fresno State's going to take the jump.
We got to see it though. We got to see it.
I agree.
I'll put him on the list after I see it.
What I saw last year to this year just makes me feel really confident.
I have higher expectations. I agree. I'm more confident in him this year.
I feel like at the end of this year, he might be 6 for me.
They did some things last year that I didn't expect them to. So
yeah, I think I have him at 6 by the end of this year for me. That's where I see him creeping up into. Mm-hmm. I think I sat Drake May at 7 because I give him a +/-1. I think he might drop a little bit just because of some coaching things kind of happening in there.
But you don't want to show up to the podium with a dog to distract from the fact that you had the biggest scandal of the offseason in the NFL?
A nice little puppy. Nice little puppy. So overall,
that's one way to do it.
Content, discontent with my 5?
It's okay. I'm
Josh Allen, content. Pat, Matt,
6 Herbert. Through 6 through 10 I'm like a little iffy about, but it's fine. To each their own.
Hey, I'm surprised I had Brock at 9.
I am too.
I looked at it.
Because you're such a homer.
I
know. It's okay. We can say it.
Here's the thing, though. I sat there and I was like, well, Trevor Lawrence has been consistently inconsistent. I think last year with Jalen Hurts just sat me a little bit off. I think the top 15 is good. I think I looking at the list has drawn me even further to the thought process of, if you're not in the top 7, it's top 8, you shouldn't be paying your quarterback.
Yeah.
Like that, reading this list has really taught me that component of the list. Like, you should probably not be paying some of these guys. Like, looking at Dak Prescott having top five AAV is insanity to me. Like, I know he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but his AAV being a top five in the league, what do you think about Baker Mayfield and what he did and said in training camp
as
and went
previous,
on fire?
As a previous Baker hater, because, you know, his college days, like, just I was not the biggest fan. I've grown to respect him. Like, he is a playmaker, and, I mean, he knows it. So, that you know, the cockiness is there with it with him. But, I mean, do I think the Bucks should pay him? Maybe not what he's thinking he's worth right now.
I don't think they should pay him. And to your point.
Also, like, prove it.
I think he's in the $40 million range if he gets paid that. That sounds outlandish to say.
Of course it does.
Now,
yeah.
By the way,
of course it does.
This is a $50 million quarterback, or he's not. I think he sits around the $40 million range, but once you get into the 50, you got to, like, if you're going to take up 20-something percent of a team salary cap, you should be a top quarterback in the NFL.
I agree.
You shouldn't be middle tier.
And you know what's funny? It's like, you want to get paid all this money, but don't you want the playmakers to be around you? Like, don't you want to have the ability to build a roster and win something? It's like, you can't be greedy here. Like, you know, I remember Josh Allen, when he got his amazing deal, was like, I still want to make sure, like, we can take care of the guys and, like, have pieces around me. If all the money's going to him, they're not going to be able to afford anybody else.
And to kind of, to that point, one of the things they did was they were offering him a 2-year deal, right? And he didn't want a 2-year deal. He wanted a long-term deal and a bigger extension, because the Bucs salary cap issues end in 2028. So their extension was going to last up to where they get $140-something million in cap space in 2028. And I'm like, yeah, that's smart business to me.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, we're willing to keep you, but we know 2028, we got to be hitting that next stride of Bucks football. We got to start competing, got to be able to turn things into
also, like,
a better way.
Baker, as much as he's bounced around, like, take the 2-year deal and prove something, and it is what it is.
Because if you don't,
it's a lot of money.
You're probably going to be, I think they offered him like a 2-year near 110. Like, they offered him the 50. He just didn't want 2 years, he wanted more. It feels as though you're going to, even if you play good enough this year, you're not going to play. The team's not winning a playoff series. Like, they're going to be fine, but they're not going to be great.
No.
And now you're looking at yourself probably more like the journeyman now. Because if I'm the Bucks, I don't want to win. I'm like, all right.
Next.
Let's see if there's a young quarterback in this class.
Of course. Or what if, and there will be. There always is.
I'm blown away by his mindset, but not really by his mindset.
I'm not either.
But I don't know what I even think about the Bucks in general. Like, I don't know much. Like, Vita Vea, if he stays, he doesn't.
I just don't care for the NFC South.
At all.
None of them interest me.
This morning.
Panthers, don't interest me.
Bijan Robinson.
Don't interest me.
Just got a 3-year contract extension. Now highest paid running back in the league.
Bijan is the team. Bijan is the only member of the team.
Well, Drake London got a 4-year extension now, 3 years to Kyle Pitts Sr. He finally showed up last year. And by the way, the year I leave him on my bench, or the game I leave him on my bench, he had like those 3 touchdowns or whatever.
I don't know what to expect with the Falcons this year. I think it's going to be really weird with this quarterback situation. Like, it's just...
Who is their quarterback?
Good question. We don't know yet. Maybe Tua.
Penix is hurt.
Maybe Tua.
Tua was hurt recently too.
He's at training camp though. He's practicing.
They're going to have Tua Tagovailoa as their quarterback.
They might.
I have to say his whole name every time. I don't know why.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great name. But
and that's not even, like, Tua's not even his name.
No.
It's like something crazy and long.
He's said it before. I've seen it in press conferences.
And like a long middle name too. Let's just stick with Tua.
I could absolutely never. We're talking with Angelique Martinez, KC24, CBS 47. Okay, Fresno State camp is getting ready to roll. Is it like... Is the Lord above kissing us today with the 107 degree start
yes,
date?
Yes, of course.
For this football
season? This is usually how it goes, right? So they get out to practice pretty early, but then we do interviews after practice, which are usually at the peak heat of the day.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being out there and absolutely baking in the sun for interviews. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I love the first day of football. Like, obviously I don't have the energy right now, but I need to have my coffee. But, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. It's football's here. I mean, it's full speed ahead from now till December.
So still first question?
Yeah. I mean, we have to ask about the quarterbacks regardless. They're not going to say anything. It's day one. But, like, you have to ask.
What if they do? What if they give us a timeline? What if they firm it up for us? What if that's Coach Entz's MO?
We might find out throughout fall camp. We might find out when they're ready to take the field at the Coliseum. Who knows?
I think you're right. I think we're not going to find out until either that press conference.
I think they learned from last year, guys. Yeah. I think they learned from last year. But you know what? Whatever. Like, we can have an idea. So
now, going into fall camp, what is one of the storylines that you are interested in the most? Obviously, the quarterback storyline is a huge one. It's a key one. But there are tons of different storylines around
this program. Two position groups I'm really interested in. The corners and the secondary over here. There's a lot of guys that graduated, a lot of veterans that left. I think there's going to be some young guys stepping up. Keep your eyes peeled for Keontre Harris, the Lemoore native. I think he is going to have an incredible season. We heard some crazy stat that he like barely gave up a completion, maybe one completion all of spring ball. So Beast, looking forward to watching him. And the running backs. So obviously we have a deep room. You've got Rayshon Luke. You've got Bryson Donaldson. But with an injured Brandon Ramirez, we are expected to see Julius Gillick step up and get some minutes. So, of course, Brandon Ramirez was always that guy. We always call him like a bowling ball, like when he's out there, because he just barrels through people, or a bulldozer, you know, like he's just barreling through people on third down. So I think Gillick is going to be getting more minutes, taking over that spot maybe until Ramirez is healed up. Yeah. So, I mean, the running backs are always really fun to watch. I appreciate the run game. I appreciate the corners. I think those are two that my eyes are kind of peeled on at the moment.
Yeah.
So
for someone that got to watch this team up close and personal last year, again, I'm being very transparent with the listeners. I caught it mostly on TV last year. I did go to a few games, but with a less than 1 year old, I wasn't really getting out of the house much. But definitely watch this team. What is the running back committee process for Fresno State? Is it a change of pace with Donaldson and Rayshon? What is it?
Yeah,
the idea?
I think Rayshon's always getting the ball if you're trying to go for a first down, because he's got the legs, he's got the speed, he bolts and takes off. He takes off. And then when he needs a break for a second, Donaldson comes in. He's got fresh legs. Then, you know, if it's third down, it's either Donaldson or Ramirez. Ramirez was plowing through the line last year. So I think they're going to miss that. But I'm hoping that, you know, we could see that from Donaldson. I'm hoping Donaldson also stays healthy this year. We get to see more of him, because I don't feel like we saw a ton of him last year.
And that really intrigues me, is that running back room.
Yeah.
Which
it's
then
deep. And there's some even younger guys that we don't really know much about, you know, and they've got a deep room and they're consistent.
And
so
one of the things that football players you hear constantly is how much they like running the ball, right? Like, especially the offensive linemen really love that.
Oh, they
that.
Love it.
So how is it intriguing to kind of see that offensive line go to work here in this? And because obviously the anchors on the outsides are two of really good ones that we haven't had in a really long time.
All eyes are going to be on the left tackle, Braden Walton, the local guy from Buchanan. He started last year as a true freshman, which is absolutely insane to say, but he said he's just gotten better throughout the offseason and gotten stronger and faster and, you know, all the things, of course, that happens when you're training at the D1 level. But I think, you know, these guys love when they run the ball, because he's like, all right, if they get a gap, you know, then we're doing our job. Like, they love that. The line loves when they get to run the ball. So I think it'll be fun to see. I think all eyes are going to be on him and see not only his growth, but like just how he's developed over the last year. I think that'll be interesting to see once we get started here.
And then kind of going back to Keontre, because I heard him at Media Days. He was one of the players that got to speak.
It was nice to hear from him, because we haven't had a chance to talk to him.
And that's what I was going to say. What did you learn from a Keontre? Because it, like, from what I heard, it was a guy who sounded about business.
He was about his business, and he was locked in. And you know, he is picking JD Williams' brain. And, I mean, there's nobody better to do that. And he said, you know, he's like, JD keeps pouring into me, and I can't wait to, like, to return, like, to show him all that I've learned and basically, like, perform on the field and give back to him in a way, which I thought was, like, really sweet, you know? Just, he's not about himself. Like, he wants to get his opportunity, and he's, you know, thanking the people who have taught him and helped him, and I think he's going to have a big year. And, of course, we're going to return the nickelback Simeon Harris. I mean, Simeon was incredible last year. The Red Wave accepted him, and immediately, you know, like he joined this program. People were like, who's that guy? Like five interceptions last year. Like, I think we're going to see probably seven or eight this year.
Well, Paul Leffler asked him, he's like, you had five interceptions. How many should you have had? His response, eight. And like, you're just like, hey, all right. Like these guys are very forward.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hide behind speak. They're not just kind of shy. Like they're direct. I just asked you about the Rams camp. What I'm interested today is the energy at Fresno State.
I think it'll be high. And here's something I asked Coach Entz about at Media Day, because I said, all right, you know, last year he kept telling us at the beginning of fall camp, like, you know, it's going to take these guys a couple weeks to learn the way we do things, the way, you know, we have our install of fall camp and training and this and that, you know, just new regime, new leadership, things are different. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you expect things to be a lot faster this time around? Like by day two, you guys are good to go. And he was like, yeah, by day one, like, you know, he said, we've been here two springs. We were here last fall. Like there should be no hesitation. Like we should be hit the ground running even faster this year, which I think is going to make a difference.
Year two seems to be the year coaches really nail it down and get their processes down, get the feeling down. I asked Gabe this yesterday, and I'll ask this to you as we get in fall camp, and then we'll rehash this again week prior to Fresno State taking on USC, and that is, where is the expectation level for this Fresno State team, knowing that if you first year in the Pac-12, it's a big FBS kind of year. You still have the realignment conference conversations happening behind closed doors and all of the kind of those things that are happening. But also looking at the prediction markers and people seeing Fresno State as a just about 500 Pac-12 conference record team, which is blowing my mind.
It's interesting to me because I think they are going to have a better year than that. And I think they know they're going to have a better year than that. We hear from them. And obviously, you know, players have these expectations before the season starts. Like, we want to play for a Pac-12 championship. We want to be in the conference title game. I truly think if, you know, this team could be competitive. If they don't win the conference title, I do think they would be close to at least playing in the title game. I think I see them at more than a 500 team in conference.
That's what gets me so excited about the Boise State home game and what they're doing for that game in terms of trying to get people to get excited and pumped up for it. Because that could be the marker of being a conference championship contender or being the outsider looking in come November. That's going to be a key one. So to finish the question is, what is your expectation of this Bulldog team going into this season with the highest day of optimism that is today? Because there's no games played. We just get to be excited.
Yeah.
What does it look like to you?
I mean, I think this team's going to be really competitive in the Pac-12. I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the standings at all. I don't know if this team's going to win a Pac-12 championship. I'd like to see some of the other teams play first, maybe ask me in a couple, you know, couple weeks. But I see this team doing well. I would like to say this team's going to have 10 wins at least, but we'll see.
Angelique Martinez, KC24, CBS 47, Bulldog Insider, are going to be jam-packed with fall camp stuff?
No Bulldog Insider this week, but we are back.
Goodness, I've been off on my entire stretch.
We are back the following week. We'll have plenty of football and, you know, we're gearing up here. So every week, from now till January, you'll be hearing about Bulldog football, okay. So please tune in.
So Jose needs to do a better job of asking Angelique before he actually brings it up. Angelique Martinez, KC24, CBS 47. She will be at fall camp, so make sure you follow her. What's your social media handle?
At Ange Martinez TV.
There you go. So make sure to follow her to keep up to date on everything. Appreciate you for taking the time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Take a break. We'll be back. This is the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader.
More Valley Rise coming your way on 1430 ESPN Fresno.
The Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader, ESPN Fresno. Good morning, good morning, good morning. The Rich Eisen Show comes your way here at 9 o'clock. At noon, it is Freddie and Harry. At 2 o'clock, it is Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour with the man Tony D. And at 3 o'clock, it is Phil Bonatti with Behind the Bench. So make sure you are tuned in right here. It is the beginning of fall camp today for the Fresno State Bulldogs as their 2026 campaign really, really officially begins today. And 107 degree weather is the expected high. Again, currently here in Fresno, California, it is currently 80 degrees already. And it is at 9 o'clock, so 80 degrees, and expect, again, 107, 105 tomorrow, 106 to Thursday, 108 on Friday, 11 and 11 on Saturday and Sunday. So it's going to be hot, hot, hot. Man, there are so many different storylines to be paying attention to for this upcoming season for Fresno State, and there are so many different ways to attack this as well. And you know, there are high expectations for Fresno State. There really are. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat this. I'm not going to try to walk you into a different direction. That's the reality. Expectations are high for this Fresno State football season. I think, again, rightly so. What we have to take into account in this is that game one isn't everything. It is a lot. I'm not saying that the expectation isn't to be going into this this upcoming season thinking, oh, okay, we can't beat USC, so we just got to look ahead. No. What I'm saying, though, is that if you look at the schedule after USC, you come home against Sac State, you're favored. Then you go on the road against San Jose State. I think the Bulldogs should be favored. Then you come back home and play Rice. I think Fresno State should be favored again. There should be high hopes going into game one of this season, but it shouldn't be all the hopes that you have for the upcoming season. It is going to be a good marker for Fresno State to know whether they are truly a college football playoff contender or whether, hey, you know what, the focus this year is to completely and just compete inside the conference. There are so many different styles of expectations for the Fresno State Bulldogs. That's the reality. The reality for Fresno State is, first, you got to pick a quarterback. You got to know who's going to be under center or, you know, taking each snap. Is it going to be Christian Martin or is it going to be Jaden Mandel? That's the biggest question and question number one, I think, coming out of fall camp, going into fall camp and coming out of fall camp. The kicking game seems to be in a really good place for the Fresno State Bulldogs as well. It looks like their kicking game is going to be a plus for Fresno State. Now, the interior linemen, those are going to be, to me, some of the question marks. Under center, that's going to be a question mark. Not because I think that Fresno State isn't capable of being successful there. I'm just, hey, I've been here for a really long time, and most years we're questioning the offensive line, as opposed to this year, we're excited about most of the pieces on the offensive line. You're going to have some of these guys as well, some of the returners on that defense, most of those returners on that defense that seemingly put Fresno State in every game. That's going to be the question. Fresno State's defense, I think, is going to give the Bulldog offense plenty of opportunity this year. They really are. That's one of the main focuses. That's a focal point for this defense is takeaways, takeaways, takeaways. So if you're the Fresno State Bulldogs, day one is just day one. But for us, the listeners, for us, the viewers, for us, the fans of the program, day one is the day of optimism. Day one is the happiest day of the season because nothing can bring you down. Obviously, there are those really little things, but it's a happy day because Fresno State football is going to be officially back today. And we're going to get content, so make sure you're following ESPN Fresno on X, just as I mentioned earlier. Make sure to follow the local reporters in town as well. They all do a phenomenal job covering Fresno State. And hey, make sure to follow ESPN Fresno as we keep you covered on everything Fresno State football related. I will be out there for the morning portion. I know Phil is going to be out there as well. We will be, making the rounds and getting the content for all of you guys. So make sure to follow along there on ESPN Fresno. That's on X. That's on Instagram. That is on Twitter. So make sure you're constantly following. Make sure you're listening, as you will be able to listen to Fresno State football this upcoming season right here on ESPN Fresno. So that is another reason for all of you. And again, optimism, optimism, optimism. Josiah Freeman out there as a wide receiver coming into this year, but some of the other guys that are expecting to have some of those moments, and we mentioned the defense, we mentioned the offensive line, we mentioned the running back room with Speedy Luke and Brian Donaldson and what that room could potentially look like. It's a lot of fun. It's day one. And we very much enjoy day one. Take a break. We'll be back. You are listening to the Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader, ESPN. The Valley Rise Show with Gonzo on your local sports leader. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As we get you ready here, coming up next, it is the Rich Eisen Show coming your way. And, of course, then at noon, it is Freddie and Harry. And, of course, then at 2 o'clock, it is Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour with the man, Tony D. And then we have Phil Benatti with Behind the Bench. The play-by-play for you today is the Athletics. The Athletics take on the Reds, not the Rays, the Reds, at 3:40. First pitch. You can listen to that on 790 ESPN. And the San Francisco Giants get going on a road continued road series against the Texas Rangers. 5:05 first pitch. That's a 4:35 pregame. So Phil Benatti will be on with you 3 to 4:35, and then you'll be able to listen to the Giants as they get ready to take on the Rangers. After the Giants were very, very, very busy on this last trade deadline, moving quite a bit of pieces to the chagrin of many, not all the pieces that they probably wish would have been moved, but Elliot Ramos gone. He is a New York Yankee now. You also have Luis Arraez. He's gone. He's a Philadelphia Philly now. Two of the guys on this roster in terms of hitting that the Giants were able to move. Robbie Ray, he is gone to a divisional rival, which was shocking to me. But Robbie Ray is going to be a San Diego Padre, a guy who's thrown 3.08 in ERA, has a decent whip. He's a great addition to the San Diego Padres. Tyler Mahle, he was traded to the Atlanta Braves for not much, but the Giants got back some interesting prospects as well. The Dodgers, very clearly, they went out and made a trade. The Dodgers went and got Skubal, and now they are, in terms of everybody, the favorites to win everything and anything. So the Los Angeles Dodgers make buying moves. The San Francisco Giants make selling moves. Others that bought, the Boston Red Sox made a couple of moves. Adley Rutschman there. You had the Braves making moves. The Padres making moves. The Yankees making moves. The real contenders, they made moves. Coming up next, it is the Rich Eisen Show. Then it is Freddie and Harry. Then it is Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. And finally, we get to Behind the Bench with Phil Bonatti at 3 o'clock. It is Fresno State Fall Camp Day. It begins today. We're excited. We're optimistic. We're ready to rock and roll. Follow Phil Bonatti on Twitter. Follow me. Follow ESPN Fresno. Stay all up to date. I'll talk to you mañana. You've been listening to the Valley Rise Show on ESPN Fresno. Until next time.